Blog Talk Radio.
Stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you have done.
Good evening, welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show. This is scan number 2894. I'm Carol Levine, I'm Vice President of NASCA. And tonight, once people start calling in, I do hope that they're able to call through, because I'm having a bad storm in Oxford, up on the hill in the mountains, what else is new? So I hope you can hear me. Okay, so otherwise I'll be talking to myself. Oh, well. All right, so anyway, we're going to have a really good show tonight, and I don't know, I wish someone else would try to call in, because 562 area code is not talking to me. I'm going to see if this person can at least hear me. Now, if there's a lot of lightning out there, yes, I'll probably run myself. 562, who am I speaking to? Annie. Okay,
hi,
Annie. Okay, so now I know you can hear me. Everything's fine. I have a bad storm. We
yes.
have too many storms up here. I swear to God, I hate it. All right. So anyway, let me read the mission statement, and Michelle should be calling in. She'll be our guest for tonight, and so I'm waiting for her to do that. But in the meantime, let me get this out of the way, and I'll let you know what we're going to be talking about tonight, whether it be just you and I, whether it be a lot of people or whomever, whatever. All right, we have a singleness of purpose at NASCA, and that is to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so two different ways. Number one is educating the public, especially as related to getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting the facts that show child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. And number two is offering hope for healing to numerous peers and providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Now, look, we have here prevention, intervention, and recovery. Why do I always emphasize prevention? Because if we as a society, we in our neighborhoods, if we became more involved of, first of all, knowing the signs of child abuse, which we have plastered all over our website, go under prevention and intervention. The website is naasca.org. That's nasca.org, okay? And you'll see red blocks. And on the right-hand side, it's not the last one, but the one right before it, the red block, it'll say prevention, whatever. And you click onto that, and you have a whole bunch of information that comes to you. It covers many, many different aspects of child abuse. And it's so important that people learn this, and it's also so important that people take an active interest. If they see something, say something, okay? Don't just stand there and watch it or turn your back to it. It wasn't too long ago. I was in a supermarket. I won't say which one. And I walked up to this couple, and they were screaming at this little tiny girl. She was maybe a year and a half, maybe 2 years old, probably 2 years old. She was still in the carriage, you know, in the shopping cart. And I couldn't even see if the kid was doing anything wrong. But they were screaming at her, and tears were just coming down her little cheeks, and I couldn't handle it. couldn't handle it. So I went over to them, and I stared at them. That stopped them, didn't it? Sometimes it doesn't. Now, it's best to go to, you know, to security. The store always has security. You don't have to say your name. You just tell them what you're seeing. The next thing that I think would have happened was the kid would have gotten hit. All right? Maybe slapped, pinched, who knows? So it's very, very important that, you know, we, society, we the people, and of course we the survivors, our antennas are up, and we're more apt to, you know, really be sensitive to certain matters. But no child who's just sitting there minding their own business needs to be screamed, yelled at, maybe possibly hit or whatever. So go to the security office, right up, every store has them, and tell them what you see, and then you've done your job. Okay, and that's important. That's very, very important. Now, I read the mission statement. Now, I don't know why Michelle's not here. She and I spoke earlier this afternoon. She's looking forward to tonight, so I hope she's okay. But our guest tonight is Michelle Bless. She is from Cincinnati, Ohio. She is a survivor of severe child abuse, who's now a minister and chaplain. I consider her our minister and chaplain. Okay, on this show, and she's an ordained minister. She'll appear on each first Thursday of every month, and she's the author of the book Out of the Darkness, the Michelle Bless Story, her story of redemption. Okay, and it goes on and on from there. And believe me, I have a rough story. We all have rough stories. Many of us have rough stories, but hers is quite rough. I'll just leave it at that. It involves the occult, which she was brought up in, and all different kinds of things which she openly discusses. All right, so while we're waiting for Michelle to show up, and I hope she does, and I see that Annie can't hear me, so I guess the storm, maybe it'll go away. I hope so. If the lightning is too bad, Annie, I might go away, and then you'll have to run it.
All right.
I don't like lightning. I can't control lightning, okay? I can't make it go away. So here's some things that I want to talk about. We'll get started. And, all right, first of all, with child maltreatment, as they call it today, Annie, it's child abuse. That's what it is. I know Bill gets mad when he sees maltreatment. But during the COVID, it is estimated that each year during the pandemic that more than 1 million children worldwide are victims of physical and sexual and emotional abuse/violence. And that can be found on www.pmc8485758. It's the Natural Library of Medicine, and it's PMC. All right. Now, I always make sure that I have, you know, addresses in case people want to contact me and say, where did you get that information from, which they have done. And I always make sure that I have that. And it does say that in Canada, I was a little surprised about this, human trafficking is a biggie now, too. 44% are sexually related. Now, I'll just say a little bit about this human trafficking. In India, that is the worst. They have 14 million victims, okay? And this is just a little bit compared to what it is. It's getting worse, and it makes it very evident in the article that I was reading. Thailand is next. You have Pakistan. You have China. And China is at 3.2 million. In the States, we have to worry about it mostly in California, Texas, Florida, and, of course, New York, where I was born, what else. So, you know, it's all over the place, and it's getting worse. It's not getting better. And then also, too, I asked about down at the border, because I'm always looking at the news. People who know me know that I do that. And it's horrific there. You know, teenagers, especially from age 14 up, you're going to be kids that are going to be trafficked out anyway, if you're going to be trafficked out. They like the 13, the 14-year-olds, usually prepubescent as well. And there's just an appetite out there, and it's disgusting. Now, April is Child Abuse Prevention Month. I could go on for hours with the information that I have about how to spot human trafficking and all this other stuff. I might do that during the week at another time. But tonight what we're going to do since the mission statement is out of the way, people are starting to call in. 562-595-2144. Michelle is also here. Okay, hold on a second. Let me get her on, and then we'll get started with the show. I just wanted to give that information out because it's important. It's important that people who don't know that much about child abuse understand why we're so, they may call us fanatics, Annie, okay. No, we're not fanatics. We are survivors. And we want this stuff to go away, all right? And it's never going to go away, people. You're right. It's not going to go away. But we, the survivors, with all the information that we give out, maybe, just maybe, okay, we can help put that dent, that I like to say, in the stats of child abuse. Now, Michelle is here. Let me bring her on. Michelle, are you there?
Hello, this is Michelle.
You're there. Hey, listen here. I already read all about you. You're a little bit late.
Oh, okay.
So, I wrote that you're our guest tonight, and that you're from Cincinnati, and also that you're our minister, and you are a chaplain, and you are also a counselor. Yes, you are. Now, okay, and I told a little bit about your life, but what we're going to discuss tonight is, do you remember I had told you about in the website? We have something which I sent Bill a couple of years ago. It says, Protecting Your Children, Advice from Child Molesters. And you wanted so much for me to send that to you.
Right.
Okay. Are you okay? Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm fine. I had to deal with a situation with my daughter. You already know what's going on, but I'll just quickly say it, that my daughter was assaulted and robbed, and she was in the hospital for a day, and she's suffering trauma. You know, the fear of not wanting to be in her home now, not wanting to live there anymore, and I'm dealing with, and that's why I was late, you know, calling
that's
in.
That's all right, honey. I understand that.
Yeah, but see, that is so where we at right now. By April being what it is for children, how so important for me, you know, how important it is to, you know, people got to help protect their kids too.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of parents are so naive, I'm not trying to be mean, but. These predators and these pedophiles—they're not playing. They're serious. They have such a desire and a lustful taste for children. And if I'm telling you, if we don't tell them, teach our kids about bad and good touch, or you know, what their body parts are, what to look for.
Mm-hmm.
It would be so easy for them to come to our children to attack them because of lack of knowledge, because they don't want to teach their kids. I don't want to tell my little girl about a penis. Well, if you don't, that predator and pedophile will.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me get into this. I hear you. First of all, I'm having a terrible storm. You can probably hear the rain. It's so hard, and there's lightning. Sorry. So if I'm lost, Annie knows how to take this over, okay, so that you don't get lost. I have this, and I want to tell people they can follow along because this is going to be a good show, and it's going along with what Michelle is saying right now. And this is actually an article. It's an article that I found a couple of years ago, and I might say that the people who were in there, the clients, they burnt the place down. I don't know if it was intentional or not. I don't know. But I'm sure it's been built back up somewhere else. But it was called, and is called, the Center for Behavioral Intervention in Beavertown, Oregon. And this information was developed and written by child molesters. Now, that's what makes it so interesting, and that's why I saw it, grabbed it, and sent it to Bill. Now, I'm going to read just a little bit here, because I'm not going to read about what molesters are. We all know what molesters are, and anyone who has any common sense knows what a molester is. It's a person that can't keep their hands off of kids, and they do touch them in all of their areas, but they shouldn't
mm-hmm.
be touching them.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do want to get into, and then I might go back a little ways, and I have other information here too. Who is a typical child molester? We'll discuss this in a second as I read this. I am probably well known and liked by you and your child. I can be a man or a woman, married or single. I can be a child, adolescent, or adult. That blows people's minds. I can be of any race, yeah, hold any religious belief, have any sexual preference. I can be a parent, step-parent, relative, family friend, teacher, clergyman, babysitter, or anyone who comes in contact with your children. I am likely to be a stable, employed, respected member of community. I always refer back to Penn State, what happened over there. My education and my intelligence don't prevent me from molesting your child. I can be anybody. Parents can defeat me if they work together. Educate yourself. This is why I always keep pushing this. Educate yourself, your family, and your community. Now, before we get into talking about it, I have so much more on this. I probably need two shows. But what I want to say about that is, you know, people think of them as being different, looking different, you know, acting different, having horns coming out of their head or something, whatever, who knows. But the point is, they look like you do, they look like I do, like Annie does, like anybody, all right? They don't look different.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing we do know about these abusive people, these animals, I like to call them monsters, okay, is the fact that, you know, many times they align themselves with jobs where they're in close contact. Schools should be on there. I don't know mm-hmm. if I read schools or not. But that's why, yeah, because of teachers, all right? They're all over the place. They can be in, they can be gym teachers. They can be regular teachers. It doesn't matter. They can be male. They can be female. And this is so, so horrific. Now, I mentioned last night, on last night's show, that in 1983, Ronald Reagan did make, you know, April to be Child Abuse Awareness Prevention Month. So we should talk about it mostly in April, but listen here, it's 365 days a year, and the numbers are not going down. The numbers are going up. And during the pandemic, okay, because I have stats on that too, but during the pandemic, over a million children, throughout the country and the rest of the world have been sexually abused that we know of. Remember, most don't report. But these are cases that we know of, over a million. Because we do know that a lot of child abuse does happen right in our homes. We know that. So when kids are home, suppose with the homeschooling and all that stuff, we have the people who are the offenders are right there, and for kids, they can't get away, can they? No, they can't. So this is why the numbers have gone up. Now, these are the known numbers. We also know, like with the physical abuse, okay, the ones that are showing up in the hospitals are the ones, you know, who have been beaten, Michelle, and a lot of times it's brain surgeries that need to be done because they're hitting the head so often, aren't they? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just like you know. So, you know, we have all of this information. And if you want to follow along with this, just go over to our website, NASCA, okay, NASCA.org. You can follow along as I go through this. NASCA.org. Go to the red blocks, as I call them. And just about over all the way to the right-hand side, you'll see prevention. Click it open, scroll down, and you will see the same, very same article. There's a brown sign, and it has some writing on it, but the title is right there. And that's where I've gotten this information from. And I think it's very important that people understand it. So, again, I'm going to go through this. Now, one thing about child molesters, they gain access to your child. How do they do that? I pay attention to your child and make him feel special. A lot of times in families, Michelle, you know how it is, and Annie, you too. The parents are busy, or maybe they prefer one child over another, things like that, and this causes many, many problems. Thank you, Amazon. I already know there's a thunderstorm. Dummy. But anyway, so a lot of times this is how they gain access to children, because they come from, say there's three kids. What do we always say about the middle kid? I don't know if that's completely true or not. You know, they're usually the one that doesn't get as much attention and so forth, for whatever reason. So, you know, maybe that child walks with his or her head down. They feel less than the other two kids and all this other stuff. Pedophiles love kids like that, okay? They can see it. And it says, I present the appearance of being someone you and your family can trust and rely on. Now, they have a wonderful way of presenting themselves to people. Sometimes they're new to a neighborhood, and there's a barbecue going on down the street. Maybe it's a block party. Okay, I used to go to block parties. A lot of fun. Over in Brooklyn, So anyway, the point is this. You know, he'll hang around, and boy, he's looking for his prey or her prey. We have to start remembering that there's almost as many female, not as many, no, but there's almost as many female predators out there. So, you know, they'll find a family, and they'll be talking to people and acting all fine, but they're maybe looking around for kids, and maybe they're doing some stickball. That's what they call the stickball out in the street in another area, adjoining street, adjoining block. And he goes over to the stickball area, you know, where they're playing. And instead of being with the adults, he will be more with the kids, okay, in that area. And he will befriend them. And he'll look for the one who has the cast down eyes, okay, many times. More often than not. Now, I was challenged a little bit on that. And I love it when people challenge me. But a lady said, well, I knew of a case. Blah, 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 blah. You knew of a case. When I present my information here, this is taken from many, 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 many cases. These are studies that have been done. So studies show that, you know, they will go after the child who feels less than in the family, or the child who, you know, doesn't have many friends, the child who walks like they suffer from low self-esteem, okay? That's their prey. And then they become, it says here, I can be a child, an adolescent, or adult. What does that mean? If he can act childlike, you know, or childish, so that the kid like thinks, oh, this is a cool dude, look at him, you know, he's acting cool, you know, and all this other stuff. That means that many times they even change their own behavior, okay, to fit the situation, okay. I get to know your child's likes and dislikes very well. Well, yes, they do. You know, that's how they get friendly with them, okay. They get friendly with them because they get to know them well enough that they know what kind of music they like. They know what kind of, you know, other activities they like. And they might start buying them gifts, little gifts. They will become friendly with the family and say, Mommy and Daddy are both working, like, which is what's needed today, okay? A lot of times both parents have to work. Hey, I'll watch your kids. Don't worry about it. I get home from work. I can watch him for an hour or two after they get out of school. I'll be here. And maybe he works that time frame out if he's able to. Or he'll say, hey, why don't you guys go to the movies tonight? You guys work so hard. I'll watch the kid. So then what does he do, Michelle and Annie? He will become friendly with the child. Become friendly. and you know, at the house, and the whatever you want to watch, we'll watch. He gets the kids' trust. That's what he does. The kid feels like this is a grown up that's giving me more attention than what I'm getting home. He may not visibly think of this, or you know, it may not be in the forefront of his mind, but he gets comfortable with this monster. And then the monster does, you know, maybe a little while later, maybe a couple weeks later, buy the kid a gift. He knows what his likes are by then and what his dislikes are, so he knows what to buy, or she knows what to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then it goes, I go out of my way to buy gifts, okay, I just said that, or treats your child will like. I isolate your child by involving him in fun activities so we can be together alone. If you are a single parent, I may prey on your fears about your child lacking a father figure or a stable home life. It's sort of like walk into the, you know, the missing daddy part or the missing mommy part. They do that. If my career involves working with children, I may also choose to spend my free time helping children or taking them on special outings by myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened to Bill.
Yes, exactly.
He went on a special outing. This person had befriended the family. They thought they knew him. They knew him for quite a while. See, they have all the time in the world, okay? People, they don't push and rush and shove and all this other stuff. They have all the time in the world. This is like something that they're going to be working on for a while. So he was allowed to go with this individual. The reason why I mentioned this is because it was mentioned on our Facebook, and I'm going to fix that right now. Yes, I will. He was supposed to go a certain place with this individual, and he ended up out of the country. That's called kidnapping.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only that, that person took him around to clubs or whatever, psycho clubs, and they were using him for their own pleasure. So that's not very nice. I take advantage of your child's natural curiosity about sex by telling dirty jokes. See how cool a guy is? He's telling dirty jokes, showing him or her pornography, and by playing sexual games. Now, they take that very slowly. They don't just jump into the sexual games. They may touch the kid's leg, all right? And they may work their way up, and they may go places, you know, by the vaginal area if it's a little girl, or by the penis area if it's a little boy. And maybe not do any more than that, just that touch, just to see how the kid reacts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the kid is going to react either, you know, like they're going to like it, because it feels good, let's face it, or the kid's going to stiffen and think, what was that? So then he or she goes from that point on, and they decide how they're going to work with their prey, as I call it. That's P-R-E-Y. If my career involves working with children, I may also spend my free time helping children or taking them, again, on special outings. I take advantage of your child's natural curiosity about sex by telling dirty jokes. That's the idea of that. Showing the pornography, and playing sexual games. Okay. I will probably know more about what your kids like than you do. Music, clothing, video games, and language. How to speak to them. I make comments like, anyone who molests a child should be shot. I can't see him saying that to a kid somehow. I don't know.
Right.
I could be wrong on that. I mean, I don't know. It says, but this is written by pedophiles, so. It says, I make comments like anyone molests a child should be shot, or sexually abusing a kid is the sickest thing anyone can do. Now, who does he say that to? I think that should have been a little more specific.
The pedophile says it himself about himself.
Maybe. It's one of the three. I don't know which one. It doesn't say.
No, I'm saying pedophiles would be bold to say in front of people. Oh, I think a man who messes with a child should be shot, and they are a pedophile themselves saying that.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I say that, because I remember when my grandfather introduced me to sex, the pervert.
Yes.
And would sit in family gatherings and would make a comment and say, a person like that need to be locked up. And I would just glare at him. Are you freaking serious in my mind? It was disgusting.
Yes.
Because other family members would start talking about it, and they and I don't know. It was like I remember one occasion somebody was just talking about it. Did you hear what happened to the so-and-so down the street or something like that? And everybody was like, "Let them touch any of my grandkids or my kids, I'll kill them." And my grandpa was like, "Yeah, I would too." You should have seen my neck twist over there. You would have thought it was Exodus. And I twist over there and looked at him, knowing that we were around the table and no one knew what he was doing to me.
Well, you know, see, that happens. Or sometimes, Michelle, a kid comes from a family where several members know about it, but they don't care enough to do anything about it for whatever reason.
Too.
That's what happened to me. It's disgusting.
Yes.
Okay. If I am a parent, it is even easier for me to isolate, control, and molest my own children. That guy in New York that kidnapped and raped me, I know he molested his own kids. I've thought about it over the years. Yeah. And it says here, I can sexually abuse my children without my wife ever even suspecting a thing. I gradually block the communications between my children and their mother and make it look like I'm the good guy. You see how cunning they are? Annie, do you hear all this?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Now, we have this right on our website. It says here, I may touch your child in your presence so that she or he thinks you are comfortable with the way I touch her or him. Wow. Okay, boy, is that ballsy or what? I may touch your child in your presence so that he or she thinks you are comfortable with the way I touch her or him. Okay, why don't child molesters always get caught? Remember, once I start, I will do everything possible to continue molesting your child. I am sexually turned on to my kids, and I enjoy being sexual with them.
Wow.
That's disgusting. If I have had a lot of practice, I can become very skilled at offending. This is written by pedophiles. I believe this. I will not stop on my own. I won't stop on my own. I am very selfish, and I do not care if my behavior is hurting your child.
Wow.
Now, see, that right there is what gets me so angry because of what I heard on TV the other night. Sometimes
what
people are just too... Yeah, I was just so dumbfounded because I usually like that show, and I think they're usually very intelligent. But this shows us where society is still far behind. Annie, I'm listening to a show on TV the other night, and quite frankly, they're talking about the transgenders and a lot of this stuff, and they don't think that that should be brought in school, and I agree with that. And certainly at such young ages, for God's sake, that's a sick thing. That's stupid. But then they say all sex should be, dealt with at home. Michelle, did anyone deal with sex with you at home and talk to you about sex and all that stuff?
Wait a minute. You mean did someone discuss to prepare or warn me about sex?
Yeah, like the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Sure.
They did?
That's why my father and my father sat us down and said, If anybody touched you, with my mother, yeah. But it didn't stop a molester, a pedophile who happened to be two family members. First one was my grandfather, because he threatened to hurt my sister. And I was and I was so afraid. I was so afraid. That's why I said, you know, I'm not making my circumstance different. I'm explaining to you why I didn't tell. The fear of him hurting my sister. He made me feel like no one would be able to stop him. And then when he said that he would hurt my mom and he'll separate my, you know, to destroy our family, we'll all won't be together no more. Instead of me going to say that, I believed him.
Well, sure. And then this is how they get you.
Yeah, and then he got deeper and said, well, yeah, if you go tell your dad and he'll go to jail, then who's going to be there to protect your mom? Who's going to be with your mom? And when that's why I didn't.
You see
that's
how cunning they are? They know how to.
Yeah.
When I was in the pedophile house, as I call it, you know what I'm talking about with my uncle. He wasn't really my uncle.
That's right.
Whatever. Yeah. So, but the point is this. He would say to me two things that scared the daylights out of me. I had no mother, really. I saw her very infrequently. I didn't know where she lived. I didn't have a phone number. And my so-called father took off to California. So I was at the mercy of these two people, all right? My aunt and my uncle, we'll call them that. So anyway, the point is, he would say to me, if you tell on me, I am going to kill you. And by that time, I knew what kill meant. I'd seen so much violence in my family. I asked my brother, what does kill mean? He was 5 years older than me, and he hit a bug, and he said, kill. I go, oh, okay. So, all right. So I knew what kill meant. And then also, too, he'd say, or you're going to go to a big white house. I don't know why I chose to call it white, but you're going to go to this big white house, and you're going to stay there because that's where people don't want children. I suppose he meant an orphanage or something. I don't know. It didn't make much sense to me. But it scared me. It scared me.
Yeah.
See, this is how people get the Stockholm syndrome, because they know they're being fed. I was getting little clothing. I was getting some clothing. And they become like your protectors, even though the one, my so-called uncle, was the one who was sexually abusing me. I wouldn't have a roof over my head, and I'd be in some big white house where people hated me and no one wanted me. So you see...
Yeah.
They find their wording, they find their ways to scare the hell out of children. And this is why, you know, most kids don't tell. They have ways of working with children. Annie, did anyone ever tell you about sex in your house and what to watch out for, the red flags?
No, absolutely nothing. I remember when I first got a period, I told my mother, and she kind of threw some products at me and didn't say a word about how to use it or anything. And so, no, I was completely in the dark.
Major vulnerable. It made you and to say, you said, Carol, no one taught you, so it made you vulnerable. You were easy target for pedophiles. Because you wouldn't talk the difference from your own parents.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't taught stranger danger.
No.
You weren't taught if a man touch you in this way, that's not good. You know, or whatever. If you would have got any of that, that probably would have made you ran to your parents. Well, I can understand, Carol, why you wouldn't taught anything, because you were being abused by your own mother.
Yeah.
You know, when was she going to, I wasn't surprised she would sit down and tell you anything about sex. She was freaking abusing you, treating you like crap.
I did that for my brother, too. Yeah.
And that makes me angry. I just wish parents, guardians, you know, when you're in charge of children, you need to speak out. You need to sit your kids down. You need to show them, teach them what's really going on. Because like you said, something key you said earlier, Carol, could be a next-door neighbor. It could be a freaking priest, school teacher, doctor or nurse. Teenage boys are coming at the kids.
That's right.
I watched, I want to say this real quick. I watched a documentary of this family who had three kids, and their oldest son, they had hopes for him to be a professional football player, and he started molesting kids, girls, and he used to take his brother, which is the baby brother with him, so he could be on the lookout, and he would punch him if he didn't do what he said, or, you know, or threatened if he ever told. And the young boy who was a man of day sat there, and he was crying. It was not hard for the interviewer, because his brother was in prison for life, because he went from taking little girls from the playground into the bathroom or in school behind closet to graduating to when he became a senior in high school, where scouts were looking at him. He started raping young women. He went beyond the school, the girls in school. He's out here in the street, raping women and killing them. And they didn't know women would disappear, not disappear, but were getting raped and murdered. And he slipped and got caught. He left DNA. And that's when he confessed to everything that he'd done beginning at his young age. And everybody was just in shock. But it's not shock for survivors like us to hear that. Someone would have gotten help, though, you know, somebody would have, if his parents were devastated, it's like they didn't see no signs. And that's why the youngest son was carrying such this burden. I should have told my parents what my brother was doing. Okay, if you ask me, yes, he should have told, but I don't blame his brother because he was a kid himself. Living in fear of his own brother. It was a very sad, tragic story to hear.
Well, that's so often there are so many sad stories because, again, when it's in the family, look, I was abused many times outside of the family too, and I don't know. That's just the way it was. And I put myself, too, in harm's way. We might talk a little bit about that later. But
didn't you say
why we do that?
Pass you through his friends? Or had his friends met with you? Didn't you mention, and correct me if I'm wrong, didn't you ever share that, you know, the brother, the one that was messing with you, that he had his friend, he gave you to his friends or had his friends had sex with you?
No, I never had.
That could have been somebody else.
That's okay. But what did happen though in my household? My stepfather was distant. He and I never bonded either. Although he was a fine man, he was a good businessman, and he put a roof over our heads. And I never had to worry about being hungry anymore. I never had to worry about, you know, other things. I take showers, for God's sake. I turned into a clean freak, and I'd scrub my skin almost off because I was so damaged. And, you know, all kinds of stuff. But the point is I had a roof over my head. I just didn't have any, there was no conversation. I was like that guy who said he was wallpaper on the show I told you about. I was there, but I might as well have been a plant or a piece of furniture, you know what I'm saying? And the abuse from my mother was horrific, and yes, the abuse from my brother was horrific, and I already had the uncle, and then I got kidnapped and raped. I mean, on and on and on and on and on and on.
Wow.
All I've ever known in my life is violence, but I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
There are many people like me. So what did I do?
Right.
I married poorly, too, and this is what happens when children that I'm reading about here, if they don't get the help that they need, they make terrible mistakes, and, you know, they don't know who the heck they are. Many times they turn to crime, many times they turn to prostitution, or many times they put themselves in harm's way where they do get pimped out because they run away. I know what pavement feels like under my head because I would rather have been, you know, out on the street Well, I was being protected. I spoke about that last night. I had a crew of people that liked me, and they were like my big brothers and sisters. That was good. I was the lucky one. But on the other hand, I didn't want to be home because I couldn't stand any more abuse from my mother and my brother, each in their own way. So I ran away quite a few times, actually. And then when the weather got bad, see, I was in better shape than they were because I could go home. And a couple of them did have friends who had a car. So they could take me home and drop me off at the end of this great big long driveway. I had a lot of property. And I would sneak into the basement. I'd go down the basement, and there was a huge wash tub there. I could almost fit in it. It had a bathroom down there. And I could wash myself all up. I didn't dare try to do laundry. I only had a few things anyway, but it wouldn't make too much noise as a freight going through the house. But I did have some laundry always being done on the table because I would come and go, and I would leave some behind. And my mother would wash my laundry. She must have known I was sneaking in and out. That's the only way I can figure that. So then right. I'd go into the pantry. I'd go into the pantry, but very quietly. And I would, take things, put it in a bag, and back to my friends, peanut butter, things that wouldn't be missed, you know, things like that. But it was good to them, all right? My mother always had fresh fruit. I'd get some of that and even take some cans of soup or, anything I could find that I thought wouldn't be missed, and I would take it and go back to the end of the driveway and off we'd go, okay? And so I was in better shape than some of those people that were on the street because they had nobody. And a lot of them were drug addicts, heavy drug addicts, and two did die right in front of my eyes. And I knew I was never going to do heroin. Oh, no, honey. No. And I had to run and leave them. I had to leave my friends. But because the police were coming, and rightfully so. So anyway, the point is my eyes have seen too much. And many of us on NASCA have seen too much. Now, these children here that I'm speaking about are at the age that we were at. My abuse started when I was 6, my sexual abuse, also violence before that, blood flying, teeth flying, all sort of stuff. But anyway, the sexual started at 6. Now, these kids, they're like from maybe 6 up, because they're mentioning 8-year-olds here, and so forth. And, it's something that people don't think about in society. Number one, it's too painful, all right? They don't want to think about, kids, people who like kids. They don't want to think about children, They say, I want my children to stay as innocent as long as possible. We do not live in an innocent world. We just don't, okay?
Right.
And that's why it's so important. Now, we've got these guys here. These are all men here, no women here. These are all men. And they're telling us what to watch out for. Okay? This is important. So we know a lot of this, but a lot of other people don't who listen to the show. And I handed out a lot of cards, so I know people are probably listening on their computers. Okay. I may threaten your child with physical violence against him or her, a pet, or another loved one.
Mm-hmm.
I may have gotten the child to feel sorry for me or believe that he or she is the only one who understands me. Brother.
Mm-hmm.
If I am a parent or live in a home with children, my behavior may look accidental. Ooh, gee, I just accidentally bumped into your boob. Right?
Yeah.
Come on now. I may accidentally, oh, here, I may accidentally expose myself. Are you crazy? Okay.
Right.
Accidentally. How would that be? Maybe walk into a bathroom and he knows a child is in there and he's going to go to the bathroom. Maybe he'll say, oh, I'm sorry, I came in to go to the bathroom. Who knows? Walk in on a child. Oh, here we go. Walk in on a child while they are using the bathroom or changing clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But he accidentally exposes himself. Aww. If I am a father, my behavior might look normal to other people. Really? All right, well, that means he presents himself well. I may use situations like tucking the kids in at night to touch them sexually. That is so sad. I never had anybody tuck me in at night. I never had that. A lot of people haven't.
You said you never had
no
one touch you at night.
Never. Mm-mm. No. My mother propped the bottle. She never held me. anyway, all right, whatever. I may have told my children that this is what all fathers do with their children, so they don't know to tell. And you know, there are some kids that believe that. They grow up with it, where they're being, they're being touched and all this other stuff. And now that couldn't happen to me. Now I'm no different than anyone else. But something told me that this isn't right when I was being touched. And something told you the same thing by your grandfather.
Right.
All right? Now, there are some of us that don't, I can't be spoken to like that or even think of that because I know it's wrong somehow. I just know it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I may be so good at manipulating children that they may try to protect me because they love me. I have seen that, Michelle. Maybe you've seen it too.
Yeah.
All right. I have had people across the street in one place that I lived, and they were beating their children. That was so sickening. It was so sickening. And then the kids would come out on the street, and they'd take it out on the neighborhood kids. This is what happens. I would hear the screaming. I would hear the yelling. And they didn't go to my school. I went to a Catholic. I didn't go to school. The kids, I'm talking about my kids, they saw all this. I lived across the street from it. But my kids went to the Catholic school, and they went to the regular public school. And we all heard it. And police would come. And they were not afraid of the police. They were afraid of the priest. That's funny, isn't it? I went to my church, and I told them what was going on. Oh, honey.
Yeah.
This priest walked down the street. He looked like an angel. I had a crush on him. I'm very bad. So he walked down the street. He went right to the house. He didn't even knock on that door. He walked in. And I'm nosy. I'm standing outside. I want to know what's going to happen, right? All I know
right.
is that for a whole month, and this was like a blessing, there was no fighting on the street. I don't know what that man told the children. I have the faintest idea. But they had more respect for him than they did for the police.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It says here, some children may not demonstrate any type of negative symptoms. Some offenders are able to groom their children. Now, we at NASCA know what grooming means. But there's people out there that don't know what grooming is. You want to talk about that? Go ahead, groom. Okay.
Wow.
Annie, do you want to talk about grooming?
Sure.
You know what that is?
Go ahead. I do know what grooming is, and I want to say that I think I was groomed. I remember instances that make sense that's what it was, and it ended up, you know, bigger and bigger and bigger. And in fact, it was my father. I'm the victim of childhood incest, and that part about all fathers do this with their children, yeah, I heard that. And the idea of walking in on me when I'm in the bathroom, that happened all the time. Flashing.
Mm-hmm.
What was an accident, you know? All those things sounded so familiar to me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, well, grooming has a way of making a child feel good, all right? That sort of like goes back to what I read before, because, you see, it's really basically the same thing, but they'll also get them emotionally to the point of truly believing in them, that they love them. They love them. And that can work both ways. Like the Stockholm Syndrome, where the kid will love the person who is abusing them because they're putting a roof over their head, right? But also, too, this person makes them feel comfortable and makes them feel loved by him or her. Studies are being done now to see if maybe they're sociopaths or psychopaths. There's a lot of them that are psychopaths. When I worked at Greystone, hey, a lot of them were sexual abusers also.
Mm.
But they went further. They killed them, okay? So they were murderers there.
Wow.
But they were also sexual abusers, okay? They went out and they sexually abused whomever, kids, adults, didn't matter. They were sex offenders. But then they murdered the prey. And a lot of times those are the ones that would take maybe a bracelet from the person, the dead body. Nice. You know, that was like their trophy, as they call it.
They call them trophies, yeah.
Yes, trophies. And even if it's just a ribbon, anything that reminds them of that individual. And then they keep it all in their apartment, their house, whatever. And they go and they look at it and makes them think about what they had done. And, of course, they have no conscience, do they? Okay. It says here... it says here, children who are being abused sometimes try to deal with their problems by engaging in escape behavior. And this may involve running away, yes, drug or alcohol use, yes, daydreaming or becoming more isolated. That's true. All of that's true. At a very young age, I started to isolate myself when I was in that crazy house, the first house. And I didn't want friends. I didn't like people. And I was scared of everybody. I had one good friend. She was 2 years older than me, so we had no classes together. So I'd see her after school. But I was the loner. I was the one that sat alone at the lunchroom table, things like that. Hey, I was dirty anyway, not being cared for, you see. And you can be sure that this is a predator's... he loves me. He would love to get a hold of me. This is the type of kids they go after a lot of times. Someone just like me. And, of course, it did happen. So when I moved to Staten Island. But anyway, so you can have also become aggressive. I want to get that in there because, you see, behavior changes happen with children. And one thing that we have on our website also, too, is you can see all of the things that children go through, and it puts it very nicely. It has two columns. One column is for toddlers and children, you know, before teenage years. And then on the other side, it depends on, you know, which side you look at. On the other side, it talks about the older children who have been abused, how what behavior patterns they're going to display, okay? So our website has so much. It really does, if you really sit and look at it. Okay. Remembering if your child demonstrates any abrupt change, oops, here we go, in behavior, he or she may, sometimes he needs to talk about it. Repeated inquiries and supportive information may be necessary. If a child molester has begun isolating and manipulating your child, he may feel very confused about telling. See, some kids actually love their abusers. They do. Because, look, they're making them feel good, and this is another thing we should talk about. Just because a child is a child doesn't mean that they don't have feelings. We've had people on the show, Michelle, who felt very guilt-ridden. Yeah, maybe you've heard some of the shows. It's been quite a few times. Because they did respond. Their body did respond. And then and the monster would say to them, well, this is because I love you and you love me, okay? And he wouldn't say to her or to him, your body's acting this way because, you know, it's stimuli and this is the way God made you, you know? This is what God did, all right? No talk like that. It's, you know, it's because I love you. So then kids get mixed up. They get mixed up. And they think, well, this is an act of love, okay? And this is, you know, so then they will tend to actually defend that person. And that's just too much for me. So the child may believe that if he tells, he will be the one in trouble. Many times they blame it on the kid. The kid liked it. My brother tried that on me. I confronted him. From my mother, she was a lost cause. So, but I confronted him. I think it was in my 30s, maybe 40s, whatever. That's the last time I saw him. And thank you. I don't want to see him ever again, anyway. But I said to him, "You raped me when I was 14, And before that, at the age of 9, after being kidnapped and raped in New York, because we lived in Staten Island at the time, you started to mess with me. Fondling, all this other stuff. And then at 14, he just openly, you know, raped me. So you liked it. I said, I beg your pardon.
Wow.
I should have spit in his face. My brother, mm-hmm. and this is another way that they can manipulate kids. Check this out. My brother would get this maniacal look on his face. If he didn't get what he wanted from anybody, doesn't have to be sexual or anything, a new car, whatever. And my mother was afraid of those tantrums that he would have, and my stepfather also. So he would always get mm-hmm. his way. So if I tried to push my brother away, he would get this maniacal look on his face. And sometimes mm-hmm. I would laugh at him, and then other times I wanted to run like as fast as I could because I was so scared of him too. I really was scared. I don't know why I even laughed at times, but I was frightened of him. But they have a way of doing that too. And so they have, you know, where can you get help? It says here, sexual abuse is a crime. Now, this is them speaking. If you believe I have molested your child or any other child, don't try to handle it yourself. I will always promise you that it was the first time, like the first time offenders, ha ha, and that I will never do it again. I will be lying, and I'm good at it. Call the police. The best thing you can do for your child and my past and potential victims is to report me to the authorities. If I molested your child, I'll do it to someone else's child unless you stop me. Now that's the way it goes. So you see, after I left the first house, this nut, he wanted to go and do it to some other kid, didn't he? Well, he didn't go far away. And he walked, the little girl's father walked in on this man. I hate to even call him uncle. That's why I'm stammering here. He's not my uncle. It was through marriage and he wasn't my uncle. No, he was a monster. Anyway, he walked in and he caught this man more than molesting his daughter, but raping her.
Wow.
He beat the living daylights out of him. He was a big guy. And this man wasn't that big. He was maybe like 5'9" at the most and not very well built, you know. This guy was a bruiser. So when he punched him, And all this other stuff that he did to him, I found this down through the grapevine. It reached my ears. A good aunt of mine came and visited and told us the story. She said that almost many, many, many bones in his body were broken.
Mm-hmm.
He had to go to the hospital. He just fell, mm-hmm. he fell off a ladder or something. That's what he said. All right. No one called the cops. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so he went home after getting out of the hospital, and what happens to bones? They heal, don't they? So you see, after he healed, they moved, my bad aunt and he, moved down to Florida, and he continued on his way. You see, they don't change. They don't change. So I tell people, okay, you know, the mother in us, the father in us, you see something like that, you want to hit them over the head, you want to do this, you want to shoot them, you want to do something, you want to stab them, whatever. This is your child, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And but the best thing to do, so that they can't go down to Florida and keep up with their nasty ways, is to call the cops.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hope that when they go before the judge, okay, that they get sentencing, and this is what we're fighting for in NASCA too. We have people out there fighting the statute of limitations. We have people out there fighting so that, you know, they get stiffer sentencing. because they should. And first-time offenders, for those of you that don't know this, they've done many, many studies and surveys and so forth, and they have come to the conclusion, this they all agree on, that the first-time offenders have actually offended 128 times. Now, that means 10 times maybe with one kid, 5 times with another. You do the math. It doesn't matter how you do it. It comes to 128 times. Now, it is my thought, and I'm going to speak to people about this when I feel better because I have to have that operation on my arm soon. That's coming up. All right. When I'm feeling better, I'm going to work on that because, you see, if you give them a slap on the wrist because they're first-time offenders, that's not good enough. They're not sorry that they did what they did, and it says it right in here. If you don't stop me, okay, nobody will, right?
Right.
I read that. So you see, with the first-time offenders, they should get very long sentencing because just maybe, that will, you know, stop some of this. Just maybe it'll help put a dent in the statistics, maybe. Can you get help for these people? Sure, you can go and see psychiatrists and all this other stuff. But let me tell you something, and this is the truth. I've got it right here.
Mm-hmm.
Other studies show, okay, among 747 men, studies show that the risk of being a perpetrator was positively controlled, all right? And so those of you out there who are afraid that you got, you know, because you were so abused, that you're going to turn into an abusive person, no.
Yeah.
35% do, yes. That's a low number. All right? Mm. 35% do. And that's the newest that they come up. The rest of us, between 65 and 70% of us don't touch our own children or other children.
Right.
So, and do you change? No. They're quite sure because, you know, someone said, oh, we're going to do all kinds of studies just recently. So I looked it up, and quite frankly, they've been doing studies on pedophilia for decades. Decades.
Mm.
And there's not much hope, if any, that they're actually going to change. So that's what this article is about. I'm really happy that these guys wrote this. It says here, because each child is unique, symptoms of sexual abuse vary and can be, as I say there, hard to identify in some cases. And here are some things to watch out for. All right, people out there, listen so that you learn. Behavioral symptoms can include a change in modesty, ranging from becoming overly concerned about their bodies to engaging in inappropriate sexual behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Joe, some people, even in the summertime, wear heavy clothing because they don't want to show their bodies. I know what that means.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Or, yes, and we've spoken about that on the show, overly concerned
yeah.
about their bodies, to engaging in inappropriate, or we become promiscuous, okay? It's either one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, physical symptoms can include genital pain. Now, this is especially, you know, for the little kids, but for the bigger kids, too, because little kids can't voice themselves too well. Physical
That's
symptoms
right.
can include, yeah, genital pain, itching, discharge, and bleeding. Okay? Children can also develop stomach aches, headaches, and a variety of other physical complaints. Studies show now, this is what they have fibromyalgia and all this other stuff, that many of us who have been abused, we have a far more ailments than those who have not been. Okay, and that can be psychological, it can be the other, it can be both. Other changes include sleep disturbances, bedwetting. In other words, they regress, they go backwards. It's with smaller kids. unexplained fears or refusal to go certain places or be seen with certain people. Well, those people probably are the abusers in the family.
Mm-hmm.
They have school problems, difficulties with peers, excessive crying or depression. How many of us are depressed spirits? I am. All right. They may become very clingy, aggressive, or secretive, or all of the above. Children who are being abused sometimes try to deal with their problems by engaging in escape behavior. We mentioned that before, running away, drug abuse, and alcohol use. Some children may not demonstrate any type of negative symptoms. They actually, some offenders are able to groom children for abuse in a manner that makes the child feel comfortable. Sometimes they feel comfortable with what happened to them. Really? I'm not sure if I agree with that one.
Close oh, no, I don't agree with that at all.
No, I'm going to read that again. I hope I read that wrong. Wait a minute. Some children may not demonstrate any type of negative symptoms. Some offenders are able to groom children for abuse in a manner that makes the child feel comfortable, close to, and even protective, okay, of the offender. I mentioned that before. That's the Stockholm Syndrome. All right, many times. Remember, if your child demonstrates any abrupt change in behavior, he may have sometimes or something he needs to talk about. Repeated inquiries and supportive information may be necessary. If a child molester has begun isolating and manipulating your child, he may feel very confused about telling. The child may believe that it is he. And if he does tell, the ones in trouble will be he. All right? And he doesn't want his friend he's come to like get in trouble with the parents. So there you go. So this is right on our website, people. And what we need to do is to educate, teach your children healthy values about sexuality. If you don't teach your child, I will. I read that earlier. Let her or him know that people who touch children's private parts need help because they have a problem with touching. Be wary of older children or adults who want to spend too much time alone with your child. Almost one quarter of children are exposed to unwanted pornography via the internet. And it says here, use an ISP that offers screening for obscenity and pornography. So I was taken by this article because it was written by them. And, you know, so I thought it was a very good article. I hope that it helps some people to understand better why, you know, we, the survivors, I think we're the ones that are going to help make that change. You know, I really do. And anything you do is helpful, whether it be passing out pamphlets, which you can get right off our website, you can. You know, if you know where to go. So, you can get all kinds of things off of our website, Michelle. I don't know, like you can get pens. They're not expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You can get magnets. A lot of people like magnets on the refrigerator. And it'll have maybe numbers on it, maybe something hanging down. Well, you know, numbers are cool in case you see a kid is in trouble. I always give out the 1-800 for a child number, the 1-800 for a child number. And that way, because you don't have to deal with the people in your neighborhood and all that other stuff. You know, and they'll tell you what to do, who to contact, and sometimes they'll help you contact people if you know someone's being abused, all right? And that's very good. So if we learn the red flags, and we have that on our NASCA website, we could have shows like this for hours using our own website. I choose to go outside of our website at times because I choose to see if something's been updated. Like year 21, it's fine. All right, that's close enough. 2021 to get information that way. So, Annie, what do you think about all of this?
Well, I just been writing down these things that, and saying, yes, I have that. Yes, that happened to me. Yes, this is true. Blaming it on the kid, that happened to me. And the idea about one pedophile abusing 128 times, I've heard that before. And I know in my case, it was my brothers and sisters as well, and who knows who else.
Mm-hmm. So one time is too many with one person is too many, you know what I'm saying? We weren't put on this earth. Yeah, we weren't put on this earth to be abused any size, shape, way, or form. And unfortunately, when I saw this today, over a million people since the pandemic, kids that they're talking about child maltreatment during the COVID. Again, it is estimated that each year during the pandemic that more than 1 million children worldwide are victims of physical, sexual, and emotional abuse / violence. And that can be found right at the PMC Pub National. I have a whole bunch of things here that you can find them on. So I hope tonight's show was educational to people, you know, because when I hear about the other things that gets Michelle really, really mad, so mm-hmm. I won't mention it tonight. It gets me mad, too. I just want you to know that it makes me very angry, too, okay? Remember, kids have so much trouble at home. They need a place to go, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. If each school system had a nurse or, I'm trying to think who else, well, maybe the school counselor and the nurse,
mm-hmm.
where a kid could go and say, hey, this is happening, if they'll actually do it, because most kids, remember, they don't tell.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have all these horrific numbers, Michelle, that we give out, the information that we have, just think that there's so much more than that even, because a lot of kids don't tell. They're too scared.
Exactly.
They're too ashamed. They don't want something to happen to their family. They don't want something to happen to their pets. You know, they don't want other children to point at them and laugh at it. That's what happened to me in New York when I went back to school, because in those days, Michelle, I was only 8 years old when I was going through that abuse in New York, but when I got kidnapped, they put your names right in the paper, okay? So that happened on a Friday. I got picked up on a Sunday, and I got pulled into his vehicle, and by Monday, I wouldn't go to school. I refused anyway. I was too damn sore. Think about what you always come out with. You know, they tear you apart when they enter you, and they do.
Mm-hmm.
I remember walking down that long driveway to the house. The police were there because I was missing and all this other stuff. And my so-called father thought he'd exercise Sunday visitation rights for a very short period of time. He was taking my brother and I over to Coney Island, and I love Coney Island. So anyway, the point is they were there, and I'm walking down the driveway in excruciating pain. People, children, go through hell, you know, when they are physically abused, whether it be little boys, whether it be little girls, physically, after abuse like that. There was blood dripping all the way down my leg. Of course there was.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what happens. So this is the month. All right, I know I'm rather graphic at times, and I'm bold and all this other stuff, and so is Michelle, and so is a lot of other people. And that's good, because you see, if we sugarcoat things, people, and don't tell it like it is, if we don't tell it like it is, first of all, the world is not innocent. You're doing your child a disservice by not preparing them for what could happen. And on our website, David Pittman has a very good article that tells you how to speak to your children age appropriately. So there's no reason why this can't be in the school systems, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to educate, because those kids that don't come from good homes like we didn't, all right? I was already pregnant, and my mother threw this book at me about sex. What, are you crazy? Are you stupid? Come on. I was in the process of having my first child, which I was happy about. But, you know, the point is, and my husband was happy about then, too, that's before he got drafted. Terrible. But anyway, the point is this. If we don't have proper education at home, we need to get it from somewhere. Or like the child molesters say, if you don't speak to your children, if you don't teach your children, we will. It's right there.
That's right.
That's right. So I don't care that we get graphic. I don't care that we don't sugarcoat things. We tell it like it is. And that's what NASCA is all about. We're here to tell our stories. We're here to educate people with what we know. We're here to help people. Michelle and I both are the night owls. We have a contact list. We have a contact list. And if people need help in the middle of the night, they can call either she or they can call me. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I'm the night owl. I stay up all night anyway half the times, probably because a lot of my abuse happened in the nighttime. You think about it. Not all of it, but some of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm used to working shift work, too, so that got me into it. But anyway, the point is this. There's people on that list that you can call at any given time, and they will help you. If you don't get an answer, always remember Michelle and I, we do take our calls seriously, and we do answer people. That's what we do.
Yeah.
We answer them back. And I know that Michelle is a wonderful minister. I know she's been in the prison system. I've worked detention. Michelle goes to the prison. She speaks to people. She's been in the shelters. I almost worked in the shelter, but they wanted me to work alone, and I had to frisk people when they came in. And I thought to myself, now, wait a minute. You know, I might get in trouble here being alone at night shift, all right? Night shift wasn't a good idea to have one person. That's crazy. So I turned that down. But the point is, we've had all kinds of jobs and we've had all kinds of situations happen in our lives. So, you know, we are the night owls. If you need help, you can call us. It's as simple as that. And I'm very happy to say that we're getting a lot more men on the show. And a lot more guys are coming on. They're opening up, and this is important because little boys, they get sexually abused too. Come on. And they're not allowed to talk about it. So I'm thankful to finding NASCA as a platform where they can come and feel comfortable and to open up and to tell their stories. We provide programs for people. Sometimes right in their own town that they can go to. It doesn't have a sign outside, like AA doesn't have a sign outside. But I've got the address and the telephone numbers. You can find it yourself right on the programs, right on the front page of our website. So, mm-hmm. See, NASCA offers an awful lot more things than what I read or any of us read with the mission statement. And I want people to realize that. Now, Michelle, you are our minister. I want you to sort of like end the show, okay?
Well, I just want to say that if no one didn't tell you that you were loved, we all here, all my sisters in the panel and NASCA itself, just know that you are loved by us and that you are not alone and that we are your family. But understand that God loves you and I love you. I need to give out two scriptures that he always had me to give, which is Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 14, and Psalms 91. Again, that is Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 14, and Psalms 91. If you look on our website, you will see many people's names through the contact. If you want to talk to someone, you'll see emails and phone numbers. My name is Minister Michelle Bless, and my number is there. You can feel free to call me or email me anytime. Me and Carol, we are the night owls. We take calls all night long, all the way to the wee hour of the mornings. Not because we have to, because we like to, because we desire to, because that's our passion, to be a service of others. So this was a great show, and I'll leave the next 5 minutes to you, Carol.
Okay. All right. Now, Nanny, how did you feel about tonight's show? I know it was pretty graphic, and it was a teaching show. Is that okay?
Yes, I thought it was a wonderful show, and I learned a lot, and I really appreciate your reading that letter from pedophiles.
Yeah. I'm glad that there were some pedophiles that would speak, all right, so they could write this all this stuff, you know. And, you know, a lot of it's about education, you know, educating our children. And I can't think of any other way to keep them safer rather than to educate them. But if you read David Pittman, now remember that name, David Pittman, and I think that might be under recovery too, or maybe the other, but whatever, it's in there. He teaches you all kinds of ways. He tells people, the parents, to role play. I think that's a very good idea, because so many parents don't want to talk to their children about stuff like this. They feel funny. They giggle. They call our body parts different names. That's so stupid. When I was in the police department in Staten Island, Richmond County, and they said to me, where did he touch you? What did he do? And I forgot to say I had blood. My mother made me go in and take a shower, by the way, before I went downtown. But in those days, they didn't have DNA anyway, I don't think. Anyway, so anyway, the point is, you know, I had to point here, point there, and have him explain, well, what else did he make you do? And I had to point to my mouth, and we all know what that meant, okay? So, you know, all these things that children shouldn't be put in that position, because what it does is it just reactivates everything you've been through. It just makes things worse. It does. Trust me. So parents, you're not doing your children any good. You teach them, like Michelle said last night, we teach them to cross the street. We teach them to stay away from strangers. Stranger danger is good, but that's only 10%. 10% of sexual child abuse, okay? That's it. Because that takes in the immediate family. That takes in family outside of the family, extended family members, and people that we know. See, that's where all the other stuff comes in. It makes it up to 100%. So stranger danger is small. That's my point. So if we can teach our children, and by using the way that he teaches you as you're reading his articles on what to say, what not to say, how to say, when to say, and all this other stuff, and you say it in a tone where when it gets to the private part, you say it in the same tone of voice. Don't giggle. But kids won't take it seriously, or they won't tell you, all right? So read that article. I've gotten my 90-second cue here, so I'm going to have to end the show. But I want to thank Michelle, of course, always for being on the show, and I'm praying for your daughter, okay, for this situation. And then also to Annie, I want to thank you for being here tonight. And so
you're
tomorrow
welcome.
Is another night. Yeah. And we have a guest tomorrow night. And so I will talk to you then, because this week I'm doing Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So there we go. So good night. God bless. Stay safe. And see you tomorrow.
Blog Talk Radio.